David's Daily Digital Dollop, Dollop 210, in which we talk to a thin fat man, a fictitious attractive girl, and a confused Canadian songwriter. Last night's gig was really good. It turns out that the reason that it was called a Celtic Country Night is because there was a band on before us who played country. It seems as if in Canada and America, the word Celtic is used as a very broad term simply to encompass the non-countryside of folk. The country act was a duo, which included a man who went by the name Fat Man. This seemed an odd choice of name because he wasn't at all fat. In fact, he was rather thin. When I asked him why he was called Fat Man, he said that it was because he was thin. There was a pause while I waited for the rest of this explanation, but it never came. So I made what I thought would come across as a puzzled face. Given that I've never seen a puzzled face before, I'm not sure what one looks like, and so I'm not really sure how to make one. I assume that if I am puzzled, then my face will probably naturally just do the gesture automatically, without the need for any effort on my part. But I can't be sure. Obviously, my face will automatically form into a smile when I'm happy, even though I've never seen a smile, or at least I've never been conscious of seeing a smile. Perhaps my brain is somehow registering it subconsciously. This suggests that smiling is an automatic thing that just happens, rather than it being a learnt thing from seeing it and then mirroring it. I know how to smile, regardless of having never received that information from the external world. It's presumably an automatic, instinctive, inbuilt thing, hardwired into us from birth. I think that the thing that gets me the most about being blind is not being able to communicate visually. It's frustrating whenever I hear phrases like, "Our eyes met across a crowded room," or, "I knew by her eyes what she was thinking." Really? I have to rely on people telling me what they're thinking to know what they're thinking. Her eyes said it all. No, they bloody didn't. If you want to say it all, I'm afraid you're going to have to say it all. Or at least say some of it. I've heard loads of stories about how two people met and fell in love because they saw each other from across the room and then smiled. Then they'll say something like, "It took us ages to finally pluck up the courage to talk to each other." Yet, when they do speak to each other, they are not strangers. They have a history, a connection. They have talked to each other long before they've talked to each other. But this is completely alien and impossible for me. I think that this makes relationships really difficult for me, because where do you start? On a few occasions I've been in a bar and a friend has said that a girl is smiling at me from across the room. Brilliant! But what am I meant to do with that information? I can't smile back at her because I have no idea who she is or where she is. If I did ask a friend to turn me in the direction of where she was so that I can try and smile at her, then I'm doubtful that this would have positive results. I'd constantly need a commentary on what was going on. This would mean that my friend would have to be looking at her as well, which would make her feel a bit anxious. She's just smiled at me, and then the man next to me is swivelling my head around, pointing and whispering in my ear every time that she smiles. I think it's safe to say that the smiling wouldn't last much longer. Plus, how do I know how long to smile for? What kind of smile to do? I don't know how to smile. It just happens automatically. But I need the right smile. I don't want to grin at her or smirk. It needs to be just the right smile. A smile of acknowledgement. A friendly hello smile. A smile that says just enough. And that can't be learned because it involves interacting with what the other person is communicating. I can't do a smile of acknowledgement because I haven't acknowledged. There's a girl smiling at you from across the room, mate. All right, okay, brilliant. Position my head to where she is and then tell me when she's looking. Okay, okay, keep your head there, mate. Okay, okay, she's looking now. Smile, quick, smile. Shh, keep your voice down. She'll hear you. What kind of smile? Oh, you missed your chance. She's talking to her friends now. That would have been the perfect moment. But I don't know what kind of smile to do. Let me try a few on you to see which one works. Let me know which is the best. I want a smile that basically is casual. It's a friendly hello. Nothing over the top. Too arrogant. Just a friendly hello. Okay, face me and try some out. Okay, how about this one? What? No, you look like you're constipated. Okay, what about this? No, you look like a psycho killer. Okay, how about this? Yeah, that's more like it. And how long should I do that for, do you think? Well, it depends on her response. I'll look over your shoulder and see how she's reacting, and we'll just judge it from there. I want that look a bit weird, and if you're looking over my shoulder, I don't see what choice we have. Okay, now, this is going to be fast-moving. Eye contact is very quick-paced and involves instinctive responses based on what the other person is doing. I'll be shouting instructions to you as we go. Ready? Okay. Right, here we go. Tilt your head. Up. Left. Move it left. Right a bit. Left a bit. Right a bit. Stop. That's it. Okay. Okay, she's looking. Quick, smile. Stop smiling. Look down. She's looking down at the ground coyly. Do the same. That's it. Now, head up again. Smile. Smile. Okay, okay, that's brilliant. A slightly wider smile. Stop. Look down again. What's happening now? She's just walked out of the pub very quickly. What smile did you do? I don't know. I was also fast. I think I did this. Bloody hell, mate. You look like a constipated psycho killer. I suppose the only other option is to get my friend to smile at her on my behalf. A smile by proxy. But I'm not really sure that would really help either. And I can't go up to someone and just say, hi, I'm sorry, but apparently you were smiling at me, but I can't see you smiling at me. So I thought that maybe we could just cut out the whole smiling at each other from across the room thing and then skip straight to a conversation, maybe. Oh, and by the way, if you are interested in me, then would you please make it clear with words? Because I won't be able to read your subtle facial expressions. In fact, I won't even be able to read your unsubtle facial expressions. So rather than your eyes saying it all, if you could say it with your voice instead, then that would be great. So, now we've established all that, shall we have a conversation, see how things go? Hi, I'm David. I'm doubtful how effective this would prove. Anyway, as I was saying before this lengthy inadvertent sidetrack, apparently Fat Man is called that because he's actually thin. I made a puzzled face. And then he said, are you okay? You look constipated. No, he didn't really say that. It was just me being hilarious there. He said that it was an ironic name, like when people say bad to mean good. He was called Fat Man because he was actually a thin man. I pretended to understand out of politeness, so I didn't point out his misuse of the word ironic. The Canadians seem to have difficulty understanding the word ironic. Alanis Morissette is a prime example. It's like rain on your wedding day. No, it's not. It was raining the day before, and it wasn't your wedding day. It's annoying, but it's not ironic. It's just the weather. It's a no-smoking sign on your cigarette break. No, it's not, Alanis. If the no-smoking sign only materialised whenever you went for a cigarette break, then you might have a point. But that no-smoking sign was there when you didn't have a cigarette break. Just walk a little further, and then you'll be fine to smoke. That's called mild inconvenience. Not irony. It's a free ride when you've already paid. Well, no, not really. That's just weird. I mean, if it was a free ride, and you've already paid for some strange reason, I'm not sure why you've already paid, you know, presumably there's been a bit of a misunderstanding, just ask for the money back. After all, it's a free ride. Or maybe you could just say that they could keep the money as a donation towards the fuel. I suppose you could argue that the concept of a free ride that you pay for is a good definition of an oxymoron. But let's not add another linguistic term to the mix, given that you seem to be struggling with the notion of irony. If you'd written a song called Isn't It Oxymoronic, then a free ride when you've paid is a great example. Good lyric. It's like meeting the man of your dreams and then meeting his beautiful wife. No, it's not. Because if he's the man of your dreams, then chances are he's the man of someone else's dreams as well. He's probably very attractive. And it's highly likely that lots of other people will find him attractive as well as you. And it's very likely that he'll therefore have a beautiful wife. It's not ironic. It's just basic probability. If you'd written a song called Isn't It Just Basic Probability, then you could get away with that. That's a good lyric. After the show, I went up to Fat Man to congratulate him on a really great performance. That was awful, I happily told him. Oh, really? Oh, I thought that it went okay. He sounded a bit upset with my praise. This whole Canadian irony thing is very confusing.